Good morning and welcome. If you have your Bible handy, in either in printed form or in digital form, I encourage you to join me in 1 Peter chapter 5. We want to look at several verses there in this message. Jesus takes care of us in this series, Followers of Jesus, Becoming and Being a Christian. At its beginning, Christianity was viewed as just a faction of Judaism. Toward the middle of the century, it became unique from the Jewish faith. From the start of the church, Christians were persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ. They were persecuted by the Jewish religious leaders. Later, the Roman Empire began to persecute Christians. From Nero in the first century to Diocletian in the fourth century, Christians were regularly martyred for belief that Jesus was and is the Son of God. Throughout the Middle Ages, the Roman Catholic Inquisition killed believers who would not submit to its teachings. Today, in communist and Islamic countries, Christians are persecuted and put to death for their faith. The book of 1 Peter was written to a persecuted church, to a church struggling to demonstrate that Jesus makes a difference. This book gives us assurance that Jesus not only cares about us, but also takes care of us. For most of us today, our struggles are in living out our faith. It's not that we don't know what to do. It's not that we lack the desire to do it. And it's not that we lack experience. The difficulty we face in living the Christian life lies in our unwillingness to remain under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's easy to be a Christian when times are good and it's costing us nothing. But there are those days when we grow weary and feel defeated, when it seems circumstances will overwhelm us. Financial struggles, health issues, personal losses, conflicts in relationships. God uses difficulties to strengthen you, to perfect you, and to establish you, and to demonstrate to you how He cares for you. In this regard, there are six things in our text for this message to be aware of as you live out your faith in Jesus and in the midst of life's difficulties. First, accept God's rule in your life. Verse 6 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. The Greek word for humble is in the passive voice, which means we are the recipients of whatever action is taken in this case. In fact, in this case, it's the hand of God that's humbling us. We're instructed to allow God to do it. Where it looks like we are to actively humble ourselves. But that's not what's going on there. Because to humble is in the passive voice, that means it's up to us to, that means that something is happening to us, rather than us doing what's happening. So humbling ourselves is not us actively doing that. It's us allowing God to humble us. It's to us to willingly submit to what He's about. And we're instructed to allow God to do it. For the early Christians, it was persecution that God used to humble them. For you and me, for the most part, it's the frustrations of everyday life. But rather than complaining, we're called to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is sovereign and is using these things to teach us. But it's only when we humble ourselves under God's hand will He exalt us. Our problem is accepting the sovereignty of God in our lives. Instead, we live under the delusion of self-rule. And we complain and squirm when God allows things to come into our lives. Allowing God to humble us means we live with the reality that God is in control and that nothing will happen that He has not allowed. And when He allows it, He has a purpose for it. And that purpose is always for our good. It means accepting all that happens to us without resentment or rebellion against God. It means accepting His rule when we don't understand and He doesn't give us an explanation. The word humility means to make low or make small or weaken. It's contrary to our human nature. It goes against the grain of our pride. It confronts our sense of self-worth to allow circumstances of life to weaken us or make us small. In the kingdom of God, things are different. The verse before this one says that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. The end of verse 6 says that at the proper time, He will exalt those who have been humbled. To receive the best God has for us, we must allow Him to humble us. Second, choose to be dependent on God. Verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. The Greek word translated care expresses the burden which comes with the issues of life. God is sovereign. The things which come into our lives are things He allows. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. The Hebrew word that's translated burden would best be translated what He's given you. Humility causes us to see our own weakness. Dependence causes us to rely on God's strength. The problem with modern Christianity is that often it's nothing more than self-help psychology dressed up in religious clothing. Instead of preaching that we are to see ourselves as nothing and find all we are in Christ, many pulpits today preach a message which basically says God helps those who help themselves. And nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing could be further from the simple truth of Scripture. Douglas Baker wrote, Jesus never structured the purposes of God around themes of self-importance or self-esteem. Rather, He spoke of taking up a cross, laying one's life down for others, and following in the footsteps of one described as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Daily life for Jesus could seldom be described in terms of a purpose that brought no personal problems or freed Him from daily spiritual battle. Purpose for Jesus meant facing opposition at every turn, enduring persecution from those closest to Him, and finally submitting to the full fury of His Father's wrath as He hung publicly before a rude and crude world. would such a purpose find a place today in the bookstores of America? Peter is saying to you and to me that dependence upon the Lord means, instead of struggling with our cares, instead of nursing our anxieties, instead of complaining against what God has allowed to come into our lives, we are to turn them back over to Him, accepting the truth that He will sustain us because He cares for us. And then third, watch for the enemy's attacks. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The two words, sober and vigilant, mean to be mentally calm and alert at the same time. Calm and alert at the same time. Instead of worrying, we must be alert to the reality that our enemy wants to use every circumstance of our life to destroy us. Satan is the enemy of all believers. From the beginning of time, he sought to destroy all that God created as good. He seeks to destroy you and me as we seek to live the Christian life. How does he do this? Satan works through temptation. He wants believers to fall out of fellowship with God. Satan cannot have your soul, so he wants your witness. If he can't have you for eternity, he wants to make you ineffective. He knows human nature better than we do. He is an expert at knowing how to appeal to our fallen nature. And Satan operates with deception. He works to get us to believe things about God and about ourselves which are not true. When we live with a false view of God or a false view of ourselves, we are living in deception. A reality of our humanity is that we act out of what we believe. Therefore, it's critical we believe right truth. The devil is father of all lies. He will appear as an angel of light, making us think we're serving God. Satan also functions within discouragement. He has a way of causing us to question whether living for Christ is worth it at all. Psalm 73, verses 2 and 3. The psalmist said, "But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Here I am. I'm trying to live out my life for Christ, and I see the people that don't care about Him having all this success and luxury, and all I have is trouble. It gets tough at times. There are times in life when trouble comes our way and we look around at those who don't care about Jesus and their lives seem to be trouble-free. In those moments, we're tempted, like the psalmist, to question our faith, whether living for Christ is worth that which we must endure. The devil wants to devour us like a roaring lion. Instead of giving into his temptations, deceptions, and discouragement, we're told to resist, standing strong in faith. And then fourth, trust God to give you victory. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. When we have humbled ourselves and found our strength in God instead of ourselves, when we've learned dependence, turning back over to Him all that He put on our plate, and when we have the calmness to be alert and on guard against the devil, then we're able to stand our ground, resisting the devil in faith. There is a relationship between a strong faith and the ability to live a victorious life. Ephesians 6:1 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. James chapter 4 and verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. David stood before Goliath in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47 and said, the battle is the Lord's. In Exodus 14:14, as the Israelites stood between the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh, Moses told them, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. God has always come true, whether it was Daniel in the lion's den or Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. When people put their trust in God and refuse to give up, God comes through. And then fifth, prepare yourself for some suffering. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, be prepared for the persecution which will come. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:12, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. As Peter wrote these words to the early church, persecution of Christianity was spreading rapidly. In July of the year 64, Nero set a fire in Rome that devastated the city. Needing a scapegoat, he placed the blame on Christians. And the result was that Christians were beaten, tortured, and many were killed. Some were thrown into the arena where they were torn apart by wild beasts, as the Romans looked on as we would a football game today. Others were boiled in oil or encased in wax and burned like candles. For the better part of 300 years, Christians were persecuted until 313, when Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Milan, declaring religious freedom for all faiths, including Christianity. God is on His throne, and He is in control. Trials will come. They're inevitable. It will get worse before it gets better. This world is not our home. We're only passing through. We will suffer here for a while. Be prepared in faith, trusting God. And then sixth, rest in the promises of God. Verse 11, but may the God of all grace establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. God will accomplish His purpose in us. And there are three things He will do. As we consider these things, it's important to notice that Peter describes the Lord as the God of all grace. He loves us, and His purpose in allowing persecution, difficulty, and suffering is motivated by that love. After we experience problems in life, God will establish us. The Greek word pictures a foundation that's not shaky, but one that is firm. God will strengthen us. He will use difficulties to make us stronger, to be able to face anything else He allows to come our way. And God will settle us. The idea is, rather than being uncertain and weak, we'll be resolute and determined in our faith. Well, let me ask you, what are you going through today? Maybe life hasn't turned out the way you planned. Or perhaps the burdens of life seem more than you can bear. Listen, don't fight it. Let God use these things to humble you and cause you to depend on Him. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement of your servant Peter in dealing with the difficult times of life and how you take care of us through these times. Father, may we surrender ourselves to your lordship, your leadership, and may we trust you to take us through our difficulties, our troubles. And Father, may we be established. May we be strengthened. May we be settled, that we might be effective for your kingdom's work. Father, we just place these things before you. And Father, I pray that every one of us listening to, watching this message, that you would do your work in our lives, that we would truly surrender ourselves for your purposes, for your kingdom's work. And it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. And you have a great day.